Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Isn't it good to know that God is omnipresent, that He's not limited by space and can be worshipped anywhere? Today, you're in for a treat because I'm about to interview the mayor for the city of Canning, Mayor Patrick Hall. It's going to be great. I want you to tune in for the whole interview and don't go anywhere afterwards because I have a really important thought that I want to share with you that you've probably never thought of before. And I'm confident this will help you as we navigate through this strange and difficult time together. So enjoy this interview. I will see you again shortly. So Mayor Hall, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
Absolute pleasure, Dan. Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone. I have a set of questions that I want to ask you today. The first one is, tell us about yourself. Where were you born? How big is your family? Your PIN number? Just kidding.
PIN number I can skip, if I can remember it. My wife's in charge of the PIN number.
Tell us about yourself. Who is Mayor Patrick Hall?
Yeah, well, I've lived most of my life here in the city of Canning. My family have been here since the 1950s. So my grandfather's sister, my great auntie, settled in Shelley in the 1950s, and my parents moved to Corbell Street in Shelley in 1963 when I was a baby, because I was born in 1963, and lived there for nearly 50 years. And they're still in the city of Canning. So right now in the city of Canning, there are four generations of my family. I've got a son and two grandchildren and his wife, of course, in St. James. I've got two of my adults, I had four sons. Two of my adult sons are both living, I also living in Wilson, and my mum and dad, who are now in the 80s, happily living in Willerton.
Wow, yeah. That's a family. Four generations.
Four generations right now. That's it's amazing. Wonderful.
Okay, now time for some rapid fire questions.
Let's go. Hit me with it, Dan.
Beer or wine?
Neither. I like Matzo's ginger beer. Yep,
love cool.
It. Yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Netflix. Me too. Tea or coffee?
Coffee and too much. I'm drinking almond milk at the moment. So it's almond cappuccino, really, really strong and way too often.
Okay. Yeah. Summer or winter?
Summer, definitely. 100%. Summer. Yeah, I'd live in shorts my whole life if I could. Even though I'm sitting here in a suit and it's 37 degrees outside.
Dog or cat?
Dog, 100% dog. I've got two at home and I'd have 22 if I could.
Phone call or text?
Phone call, 100%. Text is just a waste of time. Yeah, I love talking to people. So, if I have the opportunity to talk, I always do that.
Footy or cricket?
Football.
Football.
Definitely. Dockers.
Okay, that would be my next question. Yeah. Eagles or Dockers?
Well, Dockers, and I'll tell you what, I think that's helped in some respects with what I'm doing now. I've been taught amazing resilience over the last 20-odd years because we are great at losing, and so we've never had any success. So we know that it's a long game, and I think it teaches resilience. I think if you have success too early in life or in sport, I'm not sure that's good. I think you need to have a little bit of a struggle. Our struggle's gone a little bit too long, but any case, Dockers.
All right. Ice cream cone or snow cone?
Oh, ice cream cone, without any doubt.
Yep. Okay.
Strawberry.
Strawberry. Hungry Jack's or Macca's?
Hungry Jack's, without any doubt, and I've got my own order. It's extra pickle, extra mayo, extra hot. That's it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I just drive up to the window. Extra pickle, extra mayo, extra hot.
And the last question, this is a deal breaker, Mayor.
Okay.
We could become friend or enemy All here. Right. Mac or PC?
Yeah, PC. Yeah, sorry.
Mayor?
You look like a Mac guy.
Are
you a Mac guy?
I am.
I just find it way too disconcerting here. So,
I need to talk to you more on that.
Yeah, okay. Right.
On to some more serious questions. With the corona pandemic that we're in right now, how has the city been affected and what is your biggest challenge right now?
I think my challenge personally is around leadership. I don't think anybody's prepared to be thrust into a position of leadership in a global pandemic. And I find myself, you know, being the lowest level of government. There's three levels of government, which is federal, state and local government. But the local government is probably, in my opinion, the most important at the moment because we are right at the grassroots of the community. We are feeling the pulse of the community and I'm seeing the concern. I'm hearing the anxiety and what we feel is real. Yeah. I think to some extent federal and state government are a little bit divorced from what really is happening on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest challenge for me is strong leadership and taking a measured approach, or not one for knee-jerk reactions.
Yep.
I think a measured approach, evidence-based decision-making is what's required, because, Dan, this is going to be a long-term...
Sure.
This is not going to finish in 2 weeks. So we need to not only be thinking about this pandemic right now,
yep.
I'm already thinking 6 and 12 months ahead. Wow. About the recovery.
Yep.
Every seed that we sow now, every action we take, every step we take is going to help us recover.
Yep.
So they have to be taken with great judgment.
Yep.
And consideration. So I know a lot of local governments and people are jumping in. I'm not sure exactly why they would at the moment.
Yep.
Because the messaging from government is changing almost on an hourly basis.
Yeah.
So the things that we say this morning, we can't be held to by the community because they're changing so rapidly.
That's true.
So people need to be, I'm telling people this is a time for unity, it's a time for kindness and a time for compassion. It's not a time for judgment and it's not a time for criticism. And people need to probably just step away from their keyboards and just step in behind their leaders. Those people making those decisions are people just like you and me. They're sitting around a table doing the best they can possibly do.
That's right.
And it's a terrible time to be making those decisions.
Yeah.
And people are sometimes so unkind with their response. So I said to somebody recently, they asked me about how do I see this evolving?
Mm-hmm.
We're going through a honeymoon period at the moment in my mind where everyone's right behind each other.
Yeah,
we're wrapping our arms around everybody. Yeah. We're all in this together. But I think just like that cycle of grief, we're going to get to a stage where people then move through different cycles of that.
Okay.
And the anxiety is going to bring out a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. And I think we're just seeing that starting to arise now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I think you are right. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And what we do in response would be very, very important.
Well, look at us. I mean, we're sitting here at least 2 metres apart from each other at the moment. That social distancing is so important. But, the city of Canning, you asked the question, how has it affected us? Well, we've had to roll back a lot of the services that we've always provided.
Yeah.
And these are essential services for many in the community.
Yeah.
Social isolation, loneliness in the community, as your listeners, viewers will know, is so such a scourge.
Yeah.
And so the decision for us to close our libraries was taken incrementally. We wound back the services as much as we could until we were forced into a position where we needed to close them.
That's right. What is the city of Canning doing for its people right now during this difficult period?
I think the most important thing for us to do at the moment is to listen.
Okay.
So we've introduced some outside exercise classes. We've got a wonderful app where people can still stay fit because, of course, Dan, all our leisure plexes are actually closed.
True.
We've got online learning through our library. So through our libraries, we've got an awful lot of information there that people can still access.
That's wonderful.
So we're asking them to go to the City of Canning's website to see what are those resources that are available. We're working really hard to get to the most vulnerable people in the community, and I can tell you that only a day before yesterday, see, we still have a foot in the aged care sector in the city of Canning, and Canning Lodge in Riverton is full of much older people.
Yeah.
It's aged care at its best. But now with the social isolation that people are finding and they're being shut off from loved ones, and what can we do?
Yeah.
So we've issued them all with iPads. We've introduced FaceTime. So they've all got now the facility in place.
Wow.
And of course, we've been working with them so they understand and know how to technically access it, but now can now FaceTime their family and friends and stay connected with the outside community because they're pretty much in lockdown. So our role as a council is to listen and to try to find the gaps at the moment, because Dan, we've got a very small budget every year that's taken directly from rates. The federal government announced a stimulus package of something in the order of $180 billion. We can't compete with that. There's nothing really in a dollar and cents point of view that would be something tangible and meaningful, really.
Yeah.
We don't have the money to be throwing to stimulate this economy.
Yeah.
So we need to think cleverly about what are the measures we can put in place to help bridge those gaps.
Yeah.
So, we're listening. Council's also aware that People are soon going to be, they're already now out of work. There's going to be real financial pressure on families.
Yeah.
Dad and mum might both be home with the children,
sure.
With that financial stress. So I see real issues ahead for that. But we're already talking as a council about measures in relation to managing that financial stress. How can we help?
Yeah.
And maybe that's around, and these are measures that haven't been introduced, but we as a council are talking about.
That's so good.
Our rates. So there's a talk at the moment about completely freezing rates.
Yeah.
We will even, not even touch the CPI. So in some respects, we'll go a little bit backwards next year, but I think we will.
Yeah.
We have to. That's a responsible attitude from our council. We might look at much more flexible arrangements for the payment of rates. Because not forgetting, some people are still in a position to be able to pay their
That's
rates.
True.
And it's the only real income stream that this council
and
has.
And you need that income more than ever now.
To provide the services that the city needs.
Yeah.
So if everybody stops paying their rates, we have no money.
You can't help others.
And we need to also safeguard the financial security of us as an entity.
Mm.
What we don't want is local government collapsing.
Yep.
We need to maintain order here, but we're looking at more flexible arrangements. At the moment, if you wanted to pay your rates, Dan, the best we can do is quarterly payments.
Yep.
Well, a quarterly payment on a $3,000 rate is still a significant amount of money. So maybe we go back to, maybe it's monthly. Maybe we allow people to pay them fortnightly or monthly.
Yep. Yep.
And so they can manage what they have more easily.
Mm.
But if that doesn't work, we will work individually with every single person that comes to us.
Wow.
You put your hand up and you say, I can't pay my rates, I'm struggling. We will work with you because we are not going to be putting people out. We're not going to be taking enforcement action.
Yeah.
It's time, as I said earlier, to show compassion and kindness.
That's true.
And we will be doing that because that's the expectation of the community.
That's wonderful.
We are the community.
Wonderful.
I'm a member of the community.
Yeah.
We are members of our own community.
Yeah. So good that the city is doing that, and it's so important during this time. But like you said, it's also important for those who are still able to pay their rates not to abuse the system, because the city still needs the income.
We need them.
So that you can help other people.
We need those people to step up, actually. Absolutely.
That's good. That's good. Now, the opposite question to that, I know a lot of people want to know what is the city doing to help the people during this time, but I think an equally important question is also, what can we as citizens of the city, what can we do as churches, what can we do to help the city to work together during this time to help people?
I've been very consistent in my messaging since I became mayor, and that was only, we talked off camera, I've only been mayor since late October last year. It's only been a couple of months, but I'm very aware of the strength of our community faith leaders and the size of our faith community.
Yeah.
And they have a role. And as we said earlier, I think at the moment it's about finding that role.
Yeah.
I think we need to marshal the troops and maybe the church itself comes together. Very clever people involved in all of our faith community to talk about how they can fill the gaps.
That's good.
Myself and one of the councillors, Mark Bain, is also a member of this congregation.
Yeah.
After this video is shot, we're going down to a local soup kitchen,
nice.
Just to, because they are having all sorts of problems maintaining that service. Well, the City of Canning is just putting together a project right now called Connected in Canning, and it's exactly for that purpose. 2-3 weeks ago, I asked the city to look at the gaps in the community.
Yeah.
How can we use our Meals on Wheels? Should we be delivering bread and milk rather than just Meals on Wheels?
Yeah.
How do we reach out to all of those people in the community, and where are the gaps?
Yeah.
And from that conversation a number of weeks ago, the directors and the staff, to their credit, have come up with this wonderful project that they're starting to put together now. And I know they will be working with groups like yours because your resources are so vast.
Yeah.
You know, you've got plenty of people, people that are of faith that want to step forward and help, and we need to provide the facility for you to do that.
Yeah.
We'd like to help you step forward.
That's good.
Not sure how,
but
we'd like to work with you to make that happen. So people at home watching this are thinking about meaningful ways to impact what's happening in the world in a positive way.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we can find a way to marshal you.
Yep. That's so good. And we definitely we'll be willing to work with you on that and help each other.
Terrific.
To help our community.
Thanks, Dan. I know you will.
Mayor Hall, thank you so much for your time here. As someone who has faith, I believe that your appointment as mayor is not by coincidence. I believe you are fulfilling your God-given role at such a time as this to lead our city, and we are so blessed to have you as our mayor, and we want to work hand in hand with you and your staff to just help our community more and more. Before I let you go, would you have a parting word that you want to say to the people of Canning, people of Joondalup, Belldivis, who might be watching this? What would your final words
be? I'll re-emphasize what I said earlier. It's a time for compassion and it's a time for kindness. It's a time for unity. It's a time for all of us to join together. We will get past this, Dan. We will get through it. And I think in some respects, it's teaching us what's important in life.
Yes.
We're stripping back all the white noise.
Right.
And we're going back to the basics.
Right.
And I think that we will come out of this as a stronger community with a better understanding of why exactly we are here.
That's good.
And I think that's the message that I just refuse to get caught up in all the negativity.
That's good.
We need to stay positive, think of ways in which we can all contribute. And I think if we do that, we'll come out of this better than we came into it.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Absolute
again.
Pleasure. Thanks, everyone.
Mr. Mayor, thank you again for your time here and for your time. We're not going to leave you empty-handed. We have a small token of appreciation to give you. This is this mug that you're using.
Wonderful.
It says, "No perfect people allowed," which is our slogan in this church. And I hope that you will come back again someday for another round of interview or something. But we are so pleased to have you with us today. Thank you so
much. I'll come back as often as you'd like
me to.
I'd like to make this a regular booking.
Yeah.
And especially during this crisis. I mean, we could be doing this for 6 months. So get used to seeing me.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you very much for inviting me. I don't need a gift. The gift was being invited here today. So thanks so much for having me here.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Pleasure. Yeah. Oh, and our elbow pump.
Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. I reckon what the mayor said should make us really think about not only our own situation, but our role in our community, how we can make things better and not worse. But you might be wondering, how can I help others when I myself am struggling to survive? How can it be a blessing when I don't feel very blessed right now? Yeah, I get it. You know, business owners are struggling right now. Many of my personal friends have lost their jobs. Some of you have lost your jobs. You know, my wife Hulda is a piano teacher. Some parents have called to cancel their children's lesson for the next term. So I know what you're going through. I want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I believe we're going to get through this together with the help of God. And there's one powerful word that I want you to know right now that could change your whole perspective on things. With this one word, not only can your perspective change, but your attitude might change. Your whole demeanor might change. And what you do as a result might change. And that word is, are you ready? Perception. Perception. What is perception? Perception is your ability to see, hear, and understand or become aware of something. Like your perception of food or perception of work or pain. You know, sometimes when we don't have all the truth or the right truth, our perception can be wrong. Like this image, for instance. Just do nothing. It is impossible. You see, if you only have some of the truth, that reads just like that. Just do nothing. It is impossible. But when you have all the truth, it speaks a completely different message. A very positive message. Just do it. Nothing is impossible. You see how having the right perception is very important as you go through life. The Apostle Paul told us to train our mind to focus on the good things. Positivity is a choice. How you will live your life and the quality of your life will depend on the quality of your thoughts, what you choose to think about. Paul says this in his letter to the church in Rome in chapter 12, verse 1. If you have your Bible open to it, he says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." How? By changing the way you think. In other words, by changing your perception. Then, when you change your perception to the way God sees things, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, things in the kingdom of God is upside down. Or should I say, the right side up. That's why we need to have the kingdom perception. Jesus says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. That's the way of the kingdom. He also says, blessed are those who mourn, not those who are happy.
Blessed are the persecuted, not the safe. He says it is better to give than to receive. It is better to serve and than to be served. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to have the kingdom perspective on things, the kingdom perception. How do you see the coronavirus affecting your lives and the life of others right now? Sure, some of us have lost our jobs, our income, and I will not take that lightly. But what's your perceptions of the virus itself? We need the kingdom perspective on this. Should we see this time as an opportunity to draw closer to God, for instance? To know what's really important in life? Should we see this as an opportunity to help others? You see, your perception makes a lot of difference. So if you're worried, you're tired of the whole coronavirus thing, you don't know what to do, you're not motivated, here's something you can do that might sound counterintuitive at first and may surprise you, but you just need to have the right perception on this. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "Give freely and become more wealthy, be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Did you read that? Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So if you're feeling worried, tired, lack of motivation, you're in need of refreshing, the solution is not to go to Bali. Well, you can't anyway. The solution is for you to refresh others, to ask God, "God, I'm tired right now. I'm weary. I'm in a bad shape. But there are others who are worse than me. There are others who have more needs than me. How can I refresh them?" And guess what? When you do try to refresh others, you will find God refreshing you. That is the law of sowing and reaping, isn't it? When you want to reap love, you gotta sow love. When you want to reap kindness, you gotta reap kindness. I want to leave you with this photo of my friend Rachel that she posted on her Facebook page. She wrote, "COVID clinic at your service. Silver lining for wearing full PPE. Zero effort is required for self-presentation. Have I brushed my hair or put on makeup? You'll never know." When we spoke through DM, I asked her how she was. She said, "I'm doing well. Home with the kids on my days off, feeling very grateful for a secure job and a reason to leave my house." A reason to leave my house. It's all perception, right? How do you see this virus? How do you see God during this time? How do you see yourself playing a role in helping others? If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, God wants to change the way you think about Him. He's not an angry God. Coronavirus is not from Him. I will speak on this next week, so stay tuned. On the contrary, God loves you. God loves us. How could He not love us? He gave us His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, for our sin. Have faith in Him. Trust Him. He wants you to have eternal life, and you can have that eternal life not by doing good, not by going to church, simply by believing in Him. Let us know if you need help or have some questions about that. So that's it from me. Join me next week as I tackle this topic, is the coronavirus from God? But now I want to leave you with this prayer of blessing. Wherever you are, if you're comfortable and have faith to receive it, why don't you open your hands right now as we pray this prayer of blessings together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you His peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always, everywhere you go, so that people may know that God loves you, that God loves them, and may you be a blessing wherever you are. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.